Amen. It's been a different time for me. I've been, some of you may know, I've been gone a lot. And we were gone all the month of October. We were gone the month of January. God has just opened the doors for me to go out speaking the magnificence of his nature. And it's been fun to watch changing take place. And everywhere I go and I talk of people, there's no one like the Lord. And I see people who are believers, all right? And they're definitely believers. And I want to bring this up to you because in the Word of God, it speaks all the time of believers and rarely of Christians. A Christian is a man or a woman who has experienced not only a rebirth, but now has matured in that new rebirth, grown up in it, to where the magnificence of God, the nature of grace, is what they are. That's just who they are. You get around them. They understand they understand what temptations are. They understand all their sin nature, but they understand they have taken, by the glory of the new nature, the magnificence of the grace that was given to them, they've taken charge of that old sin nature. So it's a wonderful moment. And there's a lot of believers today in America that are still struggling with their old nature. They just can't get over it. And their addictions are there. And so we're going to walk through something by the glory of God today, which I hope will bless you. It has blessed me over and over. I think if the magnificent change that God has put in for Karen and I along our journey today. I mean, I was sitting there thinking of the years that we've been married and the joy, like I was telling a bunch of men, what it was like to learn how in the world I wanted to learn how to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And he said to make her holy and blameless. Because the average woman does not feel holy, nor does she feel blameless. Nor does the church. The church is still struggling. It's struggling with itself. That's why it divides itself. That's why it argues with itself. That's why there's so many splits and all kinds of opportunities. And so the world never gets to see the magnificence of a new nature. That's why it also says in the Word of God, broad is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the way. Many will say to me on that day, many will say to me, I preached your name, I did miracles in your name, and I cast out demons in your name. And I'll say, I never knew you. You don't ever want to hear that word. You don't ever. Every one of us has a divine appointment coming. And you do not want to hear the word, I never knew you. So when I wrote this book and I put this title on it, if there is a God, wouldn't you want to know him? Wouldn't you want to know him? I mean, there's a magnificence. So I want to walk you down a journey. It's Warren Wiersbe, and of course it's a Warren Wiersbe said, what we believe determines how we behave, and both determine what we become. That's the truth. You already know what you really believe. You already know what you think the Word of God means to you. You already know if it's an academic book, it's something you should read and you don't, or whatever you do, or how you study it, or if you're in a Bible study. You know, I sit there and think of this. I mean, can you imagine? If this is God's eternal breath, it's made to live. It's made to be wow. It's made to be experienced. That's when you read it, it's meant to be experienced. And most people aren't experiencing it. They're reading it. They just read it, but they're not experiencing it. It'd be a sad thing to be in love with your wife or for me to go home and never experience the relationship with her. I just listen to her words, but have no relationship. How horrible of a marriage would that be? How horrible of any relationship would that be to have the experience of just hearing words and you never have a relationship, yet staying in the same house? And then at the end of the day, when 50, 60 years passes, you die and you're gone. But you never experienced the magnificence of the relationship you were intended to have with your wife. Maybe it was just physical, but that was it. See, many Christian men and women, many believers in Christ, they're not Christian. They're believers. They're saved. But they're not experiencing the magnificence of this grace. So I want to take you on a little bit of a journey. I always like taking people on a journey. And here's a question we need to ask. I don't know if we got that up there or not, the question. Lord, I know you can save me from my sins. That's the record book kind of a thing. But can you save me from myself? See, that's the deal. I want you to know there's something that God has for you. He doesn't have a self-improvement program. We're not coming to church to hopefully get better. You're either already made perfect, rebirthed in a new nature by the grace of God, or you're not. And you're either growing in that new nature, or you're not. And if you're not, you're suffering. You're suffering with condemnation and heartache. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what the will of God is. You don't know where you're supposed to go. So you just keep working and going on and on. But the struggle remains the same, except now you cover it in the name of Christ. How sad that would be to continue life that way. Glenn Evans said in his devotional, it's just a one. God can save me from the effects of my hate, but can God save me from me being hateful? Can he change me so that I am no longer stingy, suspicious, jealous, cruel, and moody? If salvation means anything, it must work where sin begins, not merely where it ends. And that's where I want to take you today. Salvation in Jesus Christ changes people. That's why he said to Nicodemus, you must be, it's a radical change. I tell people, men all over the world where I go, if you could start over, would you want to? Would you be willing to start over today? Would you be willing to start over? That's what Christ does. A new birth, a new action, a new place. There's no doubt that God came to erase the attitudes and actions from the record book, but even more, the repeatability of those actions. So those attitudes I had when Karen and I got married, which were less than stellar, and by the way, she had a few herself, okay? There was a few. It wasn't just a one-sided thing, I want you to know. I did marry a believer, okay? I married a believer. I did not marry a Christian woman at the time. Today, I am married to a Christian. I'm married to a woman of God today. She's way past a believer. She walks in the magnificence of a new nature. I experience holiness in our home. I experience the blessing of being encouraged. I get the blessing of walking into a home and feeling the magnificence of being thanked. Not because she should, but because who she has become. That's the new nature. That's the magnificent. That's what it means when a wife, see to it that you submit to your husband. It doesn't mean like a slave. It means honor the dude. And she just does it automatically. And by the grace of God, hopefully I should have her up here with me preaching. She's shaking her head no, but you know, I would love to do that. I think this tandem thing would be so fun. Two are better than one. They have a good return for their labor. And the two of us became one. The grace of God that brought salvation to people is so that they're transformed. And I want to offer you to you today a transformation. If there is something that's been hassling you, an attitude, less than thankful, a critical spirit, an addiction, I don't care what it is, I want you to know in the magnificence of God's grace, it can be removed in a nanosecond. The power of it can be removed. You have to know. And it is by faith from first to last. It is a wonderful thing. So, and I probably won't get through all this, but I mean, I'm going to give you some heartfelt issues to look at. I'm going to be looking at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I'm urging you, and I'm saying that today to you. I am truly urging you to what do you mean? Offer yourself. What you've got, if you have become a believer in Christ, right now, right where you sit, take and offer yourself the body in which you live in. Father, at this moment, I offer this, the carcass I live in, the tent, the body I live in, I offer it as a living sacrifice to the glory of your name. See, that's the beauty. Once that mindset starts, something is going to change. Then it goes on. This is your spiritual act of worship. Well, remember when Christ was talking, you have to be born of the Spirit. Why? God is Spirit, and you must worship Him in spirit and truth. Then He says in John 17:17, sanctify, make them holy in the truth. Your word is the truth. Then we've got this, I'm the way and the truth and the life. The truth is Christ. The truth is Jesus. And all of a sudden, this is your spiritual act. What do you mean? I'm presenting myself today to the magnificence. I want you to know there's a life to be had in this world that isn't all filled up with a mess, that isn't all filled up. Every single one of us in this room are filled with temptations every single day. And when you grow in the magnificence of a new nature that God has given to us, sometimes you will grow into a place where you don't even notice the temptation. That's what happened to me along the journey. All of a sudden, I have always, since I was a young man, and I think it's because when I grew up, I just really disliked bullies. I just never got into it. I couldn't figure out what they were always trying to do. But when I was a senior in high school, I was 5'8" as a senior in high school. And I was 120 pounds. I'm a senior in high school. Every time I drove my truck, the police stopped me because they thought I was 12. Used to irritate me. I graduate from high school. A year later, I go into the Marine Corps. I come out of the Marine, out of boot camp, out of the United States Marine Corps. I am 6 foot, 168 pounds. I'm 19 years old. I went back, found every bully that had bothered me in high school. And I readdressed their attitude. Every single one of them. The reason I'm telling you, something I want you to know, we're all tempted. And so as I grew along that deal, I found out that I had a strength and an attitude that I could intimidate these people. And I found I could intimidate them and said, back them off. If you think you're bad, I had 6 people pull knives on me one time in a circle. And they circled me in this neighborhood in Washington, D.C., of all places. And they came up to me, it was about 2 in the morning, and circled me, pulled knives, and said, we want all your money. And I told them, I'm going to intimidate them. I'm a United States Marine. I said, you do yourself a favor, you better put those knives away. Because I'm going to put them places you're not going to be comfortable. I actually said it differently, but I don't say it here anymore. Okay? And to my surprise, they backed off. That's because a police car pulled up right next to me. What I'm trying to say is there is a nature, the magnificence of that physical nature. I was so thrilled to finally grow up. Man, I was a slow dude, man. I mean, come on. 5'8", 120 pounds, senior in high school. When I came out of the Marine Corps boot camp, my friends couldn't recognize me. I mean, it changed my life forever. The disciplines, the magnificence of all that. And I thought, great. But along the journey, I learned an attitude of anger. I could just get angry so quick. I was tempted to get irritated quickly. I was tempted to get angry quickly. I was tempted in lust quickly. And all of a sudden, when Christ came into my life, I wanted some change. I didn't come to Christ just to come to Christ. I want to know you. I want to know you. If there is a God, I want to know you. And then I went after him. And that's what this is about today. I want to give this. We're going to talk about the presence of grace. Therefore, well, let me finish this here. But be transformed in the renewing of your mind. And I want to give it in a different translation. I want to read to you out of the New Living, only because there's a sentence here that is so practical. And it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. I'm going to plead with you. Give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Give your body to God. Why? Because he gave you a spiritual new nature. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. How? What are you doing with your body? What words are coming out of your mouth? What are you looking at? What are you drinking and eating? What are you saying? What do you wear? Honor him. Find out the moment something happens with a man or a woman, when they begin to choose to praise God, a new nature grows. It just grows. It can't help itself. That's why he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then watch what he does here. This is really beautiful. He says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. But here it is. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's the transformation. Let God change you into a new person. Would you like to be a better husband and man? Would you like to know the magnificence of being a man of God? Would you like to know what it's like to go into a life and feel his presence? We just sing, I want to know your presence. Would you like to experience his presence? He already saved you. He did it by his grace before the world began. Christ said at the right time, Christ died. I mean, we look at all this, but would you like to experience his presence? Then present yourself today to the Almighty. This is a beautiful place. He says, I urge you. It's an earnest thing. I mean, the mercies of God mentioned in Romans, we don't have time to go through them all, but I just want, we hear words like justification. That's being freely forgiven, made righteous. That means I've been made righteous. That means I've been made righteous. What does that mean? That means I've been made righteous. I have been justified by Christ. What does that mean? That means I've been made righteous. Do you know what happened to Gus Best? I've been made righteous. Do you know what happened to you? Who are you? You've got to be able to say it. Are you righteous? Amen. Amen? Well, get excited over the thing. Don't just sit here and watch me. I mean, are you righteous? Do you know you're righteous? This is what God did. This is not a belief system. This is not a regroup. This is a new nature, a born again, a rebirth, and one of the magnificent mercies of God. The number one, right off the get-go, justification. What do you mean? What does it mean? I've been made righteous. Who's been made righteous? I've been made righteous. Who are you? You need to say it to yourself. I've been made righteous. And then you got to go, me? Yes, you. It's magnificent. Identification. I've been identified. I've been adopted. My dad was Lucifer. Oh, by the way, that was your dad too, so don't get at my face. Okay? We were born with his nature, the lowlifer. There was nothing good in that nature. We complained right from the get-go time we were little tiny kids when we didn't even know we were complaining. We were complaining. Screaming our stinking heads off. By the time we could move, we started throwing ourselves onto the floor, having fits and tizzies. But then no one taught us to lie. We lied automatic. We just lied automatic. I can still remember the first time I ever caught our daughter lying to us. It was like somebody hit me. I was growing in grace, so I assume she's raised in our home. We love her. We're righteous. And she's our daughter, so she would never lie to us. And then she did. It was horrible. Well, remember that? It was horrible. It was like somebody hit me in the face. I went, our Sandy lied to us. And then I look at Karen, what did you do to her? She surely didn't get it from me. Do you see what I'm saying? The identification taken out of Adam, I've been put into Christ. Man, you got to know that. You've got to know. If you don't, you are tempted to go to places you were never meant to go. You're going to go down roads you were never meant to go down. You're going to divorce yourself, and I don't mean from marriage. You'll divorce yourself from people and things just because of the sin you do. You will let them overwhelm you, and they have no right over you. The identification is Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. I have been identified. I've been adopted. I can never be unadopted. I am a son of God. I declare what God has declared. I have been justified. Therefore, he declared me righteous now and forever. And therefore, I'm presenting myself. I'm under grace. I'm not under law. What do you mean under grace? I cannot be blamed anymore. When I choose less than stellar things, I get the joy of repenting. The Holy Spirit is now indwelling me. I've never knew that before. I never understood that before. I have a hope of coming glory. I know there's a day coming. The Lord is going to come. The trumpet is going to sound whether anyone likes it or not, whether they believe it or not. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be the sound of a trumpet, and the Lord shall descend, and you will be impressed. You will be changed in a moment. That's what's coming. I will never be forsaken. God tells me there's nothing will ever separate us again. His love will always be with me. There's nothing on this earth or in heaven or under the earth or above the earth that will ever separate me again. And confidence that God is faithful. Amen? Amen. This is the magnificence of God's grace. Years ago, I wrote something. I want to just read it to you. I don't know if we have it up there. It's under Gus Bess. Let's see. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Okay. I believe that, and this, I was doing a lot of church works because I speak at a lot of churches, and a lot of churches were having problems. The elder problems, they were struggling with themselves. They were struggling just how to govern, I guess, and things. And so I said, let me tell you something. I believe that everything in the local church is supposed to do in its generation that it finds itself is a byproduct of delighting in the Lord. a byproduct of rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord. And that includes preaching, teaching, evangelism, music, missions, giving of works of mercy, and even personal holiness and service. First of all, our Lord calls us to enjoy Him. Think of that. First of all, He calls us to enjoy Him. You have to be willing to enjoy Him. And some of us are all locked into our sin nature. He calls us to enjoy Him. He wants us to enjoy Him. Then He leads us out to be a witness and to work. Delighting, rejoicing, and giving thanks in Him puts the Lord where He's supposed to be and puts me where I ought to be in His presence. And so it says, offer our bodies. This is not just the body. This is the totality of myself. It's the body. This is, you can't see who I am. The only thing you see is my body. The only way you know if I'm a man of God is by how I act in this body. The only way you know if salvation was real and I was rebirthed and my own eyes I will behold the Lord. This is the magnificence. This is where we're supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to be. God, Robert, you know, our body is our vehicle, which obviously implements all the stuff in our life. But Robert Murray M'Cheyne said it was really well. He goes, it's not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Him. And we sing about all these things about Him. He has the weak speak to the strong. And I think, oh, man, that was me all over the place. You know, everybody sees this older man like I am today. And they somehow think I was just this way all the time. And I wasn't. This is the magnificence of the nature of God. If you'll let yourself go, if you'll let His love cast out your fear, if you'll know the magnificence of His grace and be willing to present your body today, just present yourself. Father, I'm presenting myself. I'm going to walk in your presence. I'm going to give glory to you. You know, let's live our lives as if we were in the presence of God all the time, which we are. I have a new nature. I get up in the mornings and I can't stop thanking God. I can't praise Him enough. I mean, my wife and I this year have been married 49 years, and I get out of bed and I'm going into the kitchen to turn on the coffee before I get her toothbrush ready. Okay? And I do this. I want you to know God did this with me. This isn't what I started off as. And I turn and she's asleep in bed. And there's our little dog Gracie right next to her protector. Okay? And Gracie does need a little more grace, so you could pray for that. But I looked at her and I literally stop and I usually go like this, oh Father, thank you. I don't know what to say. Something happens when we start to learn to present our bodies. We start giving thanks in everything. And sin can't dwell and take its root in me. Something has to happen with me. Something must happen with my will. I must be willing to present myself. I must be willing to surrender to righteousness, peace, and joy, which is His kingdom. Because He gave me the power to do it. But I have to get my will involved. This is the wonder. You know, I think of this in John 4, 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Because when you're worshiping this way, there's a life that comes. I don't know how. It's like it's this glow. It's like this joy uncontainable. It's a fullness of spirit. All of a sudden, you have a wisdom you didn't ever have. You have an insight you never knew. You have a joy you've never understood. Because all your joys before were about what's around you. And all of a sudden, you can have nothing around you. And you're so filled with joy, people are saying, what's wrong with you? Who are you? This is a salvation that God has offered to you. This is the magnificence. There are no darkness in Christ. There is no chain of any sin that is more powerful, more constraining than the grace of Jesus the Christ. See, we will find, you remember the story of Mary going in and Jesus was having dinner with the Pharisees. Remember that? And she came in with a bottle and she broke it. and she smeared it all over his feet. Remember that? And remember, the Pharisees' attitudes were like, man, oh man, if he knew what kind of female was touching her. This was a sinful woman. And yet she's in the process of repenting. She's taking her body and doing something with it to give glory to God. And what does she do? She goes in there at dinner. They're laying down. I don't even know how the Pharisees, why'd they let her in the house? I have no idea. I don't understand all that. She gets in the house. She's a sinful woman. She breaks this beautiful bottle of myrrh. And the whole room begins to smell with an unbelievable great aroma. And she's wiping, anointing his feet with it. Just, can you imagine? He's laying there. The Lord, can you even imagine? The Lord laying there, and here's this woman. They're all at dinner. They all sat on their side with a pillow, and they're dinner. And there's a woman kneeling, taking this oil and wiping the Lord's feet, just massaging his feet with this magnificent perfume. And then she takes her hair and wipes the rest of it off to dry his feet. When Mary walked out of that house, what did she smell like? She smelled like Jesus, because she offered something. Present your body as a living and holy sacrifice, as your spiritual act of worship. They that worship God must worship in the spirit and in truth. Come and submit yourself to the magnificence of a new nature that is so wonderful. See, that's the same thing. We will be the same like Mary. Through Jesus Christ, therefore, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, which confess his name. That's out of Hebrews 13. Pleasing to God. I think so we make it our goal in 2 Corinthians 5:9. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Now, when you have to understand, we make it our goal to please the Lord, whether we're in the body or we're away from it. The idea of away from it means you're dead. Your goal is to please him. But you can't when you don't like who you are. When you won't believe you were justified. You don't like you. It's time to drop it. It's time to awaken to the magnificent nature of grace. For by grace, God saved us. Not of works, not of anything on our own, but by grace, through faith, he saved us. For if anyone believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead and confesses with his mouth, Jesus is Lord, that man, that woman, shall be justified. What do you mean? They are righteous, declared righteous by God himself, now and forever. Are you and do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know that you're a righteous man? Do you know that you're a righteous woman? Do you know? Are you experiencing? Would someone around you today say, in your presence, I feel the blessings of God? See, that's the new nature. I think of Mary. I don't know what it was like on that day. I mean, it says she was a sinful woman. She walked out. There's no doubt on that day when she broke that jar, and there was an expensive jar, and the perfume and the oil and rubbing his feet. Wouldn't you love to see that picture? She's just, and then she's drying his feet off with her hair, and she walks out of that house, and everybody she walked by, what do you think was like for them? She was known as a sinful woman, but when she walked by, there was an aroma about her that was super attractive. They're like, oh, wow, isn't that Mary? Yeah, obviously she's been with Jesus. See, that's the beauty of the magnificence of God's grace. We can go through so many things. We can talk about the proof of grace, and I talk about people that, you know, although you a man or a woman of God only brings themselves to the Lord, they bring the greatest of gifts. The greatest gift is, are you celebrating him? Would you be willing? Would you be willing today to present yourself? Would you be willing today to say, I am a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman. I have received the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. And on this day, the only day I have, this is the only day that I have been given. I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow, but I have this day. And on this day, I present my body to Christ. I have come to worship. This is the beauty, what we're going to do. So I'm going to have our band come back up. I'm obviously not finishing this sermon. I'll do that. I always do it in the second service because there's no Sunday school class. But I'm they're going to come, and I don't know what they've got planned in the service or anything in the songs yet, but I want to offer you something. I want to offer you a gift today of God. I want to offer you, just like when you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, I would like to offer you this. If on this day, and many of you came in here already this way, I know a lot of you, and a lot of you already came in and you've already offered yourself on this day as a living sacrifice. I know that is true. I know who you are. But many of you haven't, and many of you have been suffering from a long journey. And some of you just need a wake-up call. I want to invite, we're going to sing, and just come forward and sing with us. But if you come, come with this. Declare to somebody, I today declare I have been justified. I am now righteous forever. That means I'm blameless. And today, I want you to know, on this day, I'm presenting myself, my body, to Christ. It is it's mine, not somebody else's. It's my spiritual act of worship. So would you stand with us? And as we sing, if you'd like to come and just stand here and sing with us. And present yourself. Say, I'm presenting me to the Lord Jesus Christ.